Hi everyone. It's nice to see that there's a nice attendance here today. So this is our faculty forum to discuss the draft resolution that's come to the Senate that will come to the Senate for a vote in May. And it is titled Structural Equity and Inclusion for Research, Teaching, and Extension Faculty. And before we get started, I just wanted to do the land acknowledgement. So Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayokono, the Cayuga Nation. The Gayokono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gayokono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gayokono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. This land acknowledgement has been reviewed and approved by the traditional Gayokono leadership. And then I guess I would just start today with the sort of framework, I guess, is the best way to say this. For today is that we are speaking about contract non-tenure track faculty who contribute to research, teaching, extension, libraries, archivists, and curators. And this is an opportunity also for faculty feedback to the university. So this meeting is being recorded. And those recordings will be sent to academic HR and also to the provost and the deputy provost. And the way that we can run today's meeting is whomever would like to contribute, just put up your electronic hand. I'll call your name and then we'll just follow the queue and try to keep your comments to approximately 2 minutes. That would be helpful. And with that, I open the floor for anybody who would like to discuss the draft resolution and want to contribute faculty feedback to it. Oh, and before I start, are there members here from the Senate's RTE task force? If so, can you just take a second, unmute, and introduce yourselves and what unit you're representing?
Hi, Eve. Hi. This is Toby. I'm here from the RTE Task Force, and I'm also faculty senator for the library.
I'm Anne Lapointe. I am in College of Arts and Sciences. I'm on the task force.
Bob Cartman, professor of practice in College of Business, also on the task force.
I'm trying to see if there's anyone else right now that I'm sure there will be others who will be coming in. We're still having people come in. So thank you for the three of you. And with that, I'll open up the floor for whomever wants to give feedback on the draft resolution. Amara.
I have a question, and my apologies if I should know the answer to this already. The resolution seems pretty broad. It's resolved that the RTE faculty have comparable structural equity, et cetera. Are there specific ways that the group has talked about implementing that you're considering, or is that like a next step?
I will give a first response, and then anybody from the task force can finish up and follow up on what I have to say. So yes, one, this resolution is considered a first step. And given the diversity of the diversity of needs, I guess, across research, teaching, extension, and library archives. It felt like there was a need for a first step for integration into the units and acknowledgement by central administration that there is representation in the provost's office for RTE faculty. And I do believe this is considered a first step by the RTE task force, but I will let others also speak to that. We're not. So, Amara, what are you thinking?
Well, I've started to hear. I think they're speculations. You know, things like, would sabbaticals be a possibility? You know, is tenure possible for RTE faculty, and what would that even look like? And there's like a whole range of concerns about that. And I'm not advocating for or against those. I'm just, I'm mostly here, I guess, out of curiosity to kind of understand more about what's being considered.
I would say the needs are even more basic at this time from the perspective of RTE faculty, even as simple as being included in unit faculty meetings, being able to vote if you're a lecturer on curricula, things like that. But I don't know for the larger issues, those are things that are for the future negotiations. And I would say that this is a Senate committee, and this Senate committee, we have the intention of maintaining it. So this is not a one and done. Sure, Bob.
Yes, I think the task force left a lot of the suggestions very broad because how RTE faculty are represented is primarily at the college level. And there is a huge difference in how each college reacts or treats the RTE faculty. So we left it broad rather than being specific because each college would have to come up with their own solutions or deal with some of the issues. So the main thing, I believe the purpose is to at least get the idea introduced and then start working with the vice provost and also with the colleges and the deans of the college to try to have equality across all the colleges, not just in some specific areas.
Thank you, Bob. Betsy.
Sorry, I was ready, but I wasn't ready. So thank you, because I think that's one of the questions, and it comes up in my discussions with the RTE faculty in CALS, who I represent, is the standardization and standardizations within the colleges, but also across the colleges. And I think from some of the things that have been said so far, the idea of making a home for us in Workday, so I mean, that's something that's standardized across the university, which seems like a good way to go. I will certainly admit that RTE faculty are not one size fits all. We are many, many different things and have many, many different limitations on what can be granted or offered. But it does get confusing and frustrating, I think, to people when there's so little standardization. Thanks.
And Betsy, I don't know if what you're referring to is the fact that we now in Workday, we've worked over this past year or so to get RTE faculty as a grouping in Workday, which yes. didn't exist before. And then we also have RTE Emeriti as another grouping so that the benefits associated with those titles are actually acknowledged. So,
that is mentioned. And we're actually taking that information and trying to make sure that in the College of Ag that even on the websites for the departments that RTE faculty show up under faculty.
Great.
So I think that will help. Thank you.
Walker.
So I agree with the fact that, you know, standardization is important and this is something that we should focus on first. But I wanted to raise something to people's attention that there are things that are cross college that we should be aware of. And we ran into this in the past year. So right now in CIS, it's an arms race among top universities to get teaching faculty. It's very, very competitive. And we lost someone because, see, for tenure track faculty, the university has an office for handling two-body problems, and they refuse to give any help at all to RTE faculty. And that was a big problem. And that was one of the reasons why we lost a Native American first gen that we were trying to hire as a teaching faculty member.
Walker, that is the first that I've heard of this. So thank you. And I have to say that the reason that I like holding the faculty fora, one, I think it's less intimidating and you know, people don't have to deal with Robert's rules in order to communicate. What I've learned through holding these is that we get new information, new people, new voices. So I really appreciate you bring that forward. Catherine.
Thank you. Yes, Catherine Caggiano, RTE representative for engineering. I guess one of the reasons I'm struggling a little bit with this resolution, and maybe others feel differently, or maybe others feel the same, right? In that, while I understand the reasoning for sort of keeping this broad, I feel like, to the point Walker just made, right? It's really, you know, that complete lack of specificity, I'm concerned, kind of in some sense undermines its credibility, right? In the sense that the way that this is written, it's, you know, be it resolved, right? We're resolving that we have comparable structure, you know, structural equity inclusion. We have no idea what that means, but we have it, right? So it seems to me a little bit of a chicken and egg thing here. And I kind of feel like, well, as I said, I understand the reasoning for this to be broad. I feel like it's so broad here that it kind of says nothing. And I feel like unless we provide some context for at least bringing as examples some of the issues that are of concern, such as, right, the two-body issue that Walker just raised, that this sort of just is going to remain a question mark for many on the faculty senate. And quite honestly, I think there will be a lot of people that won't or risk not voting for it because they don't know what it means, because neither do we.
And this is basically why there's been 9 probably variant versions of this resolution. It started out more specific. There was pushback. So this has been put in front of multiple spaces. And I think part of this is the thought is to, because the needs are so distinct, to be able to, when I can now go, let's say this resolution gets passed, I can go to the dean of CIS and talk about these issues specific at the college level. I could go to a chair within a department when I have a concern to say at the departmental level, how are you, including your RTE faculty? How are you? So for me, it feels valuable, but I can understand the frustration as well, because what does it mean? But because it could mean so many different things at different places. So at the unit level, at the college level, whether you're extension, whether you're an archivist versus, you know, so it, this is a very complex and difficult thing. But this is basically the task force really trying to make that first step. But I'll let Kim as a co-chair speak for herself.
Yes, thank you, Eve. And thank you for the comments. I certainly appreciate all of them. When we presented the resolution to the Faculty Senate, there were some in-person folks who we had a chance to talk with, and then some on Zoom as well. And then there were some follow-up comments. I think context is really important here, and that is what is lacking in what you're seeing in the final resolution. So If you would just indulge me to share a little bit of that with a nod to Charlie Van Loan. It's nice to see Charlie here and to thank him for his past efforts as Dean of Faculty, because Charlie really very strongly set us on this path, and Eve is doing such a fine job on holding your hands and continuing down the path. But one of the things I never forgot in that I learned from Charlie was that the pace is important and slower is better. And so we are continuing to honor that. What you're seeing in the resolution, as Eve alluded to, was I think it's the ninth or higher version. And that two-page document took us 8 or 9 weeks to develop. And it was developed very closely with the RTE task force and with Eve's advocacy in taking a draft of the resolution out to her, to faculty and others in her orbit that she advocates for us, and getting feedback. That was a huge benefit to us because we were able to get feedback that we could incorporate into the resolution. That happened not only once, but twice. So the first set of feedback, and I'm being very sort of thumbnail here, was that it was too specific because we did have some of these specific asks in the resolution. And with that feedback, we tried to adapt it to make it more general. And then that went out for feedback. And then that was, it was too general. And so we're walking this line, this fine line between not wanting these efforts to be unsuccessful, but also not, we listen to the feedback. And so the process is important. And again, that doesn't come through in the resolution. You don't see that process and all of that sort of give and take and adaptation to the feedback. I have concerns because I wonder about the resolution being passed. But as Eve said, the best we can do is that this is a first step. We've articulated that time and time again. This is a first step. And then once we have equity, structural equity, or, you know, equal rights, then Eve can go to the specific points like the two-body issue or other issues that may arise. We are such a diverse group, the RTE faculty, that it's really hard to get a set of a laundry list, if you will. That laundry list would have been overwhelming. And so we figured that if we can get this through, then those individual conversations can happen. So I'm really interested in any feedback, but I hope that's helpful to provide some context.
And I will say, I will be having those conversations anyway, but it just gives me a tool that I think makes it a little more compelling. But I do hear you, Catherine C, on your feedback. And now we have Catherine D. So.
There's a line in there about being represented by somebody in the vice provost's office. What is meant by that?
So there in the initial, the original draft, I was trying to combine initial and original. So in the initial draft, there was a request for a vice provost for RTE faculty. When that initial draft went to the vice provost of academic affairs and the deputy provost, who's one in the same, Avery August, he said, RTE faculty are in my purview. And so the resolution at this point is just specifying that the office of the vice provost has a place for RTE faculty and the needs of RTE faculty to be addressed. And so that's what that second resolution is intending. Does that help at all, Catherine?
It does a little bit. Now I know at least who it is. I didn't understand what you meant by represent. Does that mean if you know, if there's an issue that one can talk to him about it, or would bring it to you? Where would one even bring something if there was an issue?
Of course, you would work through your unit and your college. And when something goes beyond your college, there's somebody at the provost office who's also considering all academic affairs associated with faculty, whether you are tenure track or non-tenure track. So I think that's basically what that is stating.
Okay, thank you.
Can I combine two things that just happened into one? So Catherine, with your question, and then Walker's case study that he presented with the with not having support for dual career hire. Dual career program is run directly out of the office, out of Avery August's office, the Office of Faculty Development and Diversity. And so by having Avery August clearly supporting RTE faculty, when there's any either hiring or retention case that might evoke some of the rights that his office supports, which is the dual hire program, it would become clear that that program was available to those RTE retention or hiring cases. And it would be able to, so either the department chair or the dean, or if they would know to go to that office to be able to use that support. So that might be like an exact case of where you would be able to use that link to Avery August in his office for supporting a structural need for RTE faculty.
And I can see that Mark Lewis is also reminding exactly what I was trying to articulate. You have your chair or director, you have your associate dean, and then they all report to Avery. So there is a process and a structure. Hadas.
Yeah, so I understand the impossibility of kind of having a complete laundry list of all the issues and how there's such a variety that are applicable to certain RTE faculty and not others. But I think, I mean, I'm kind of echoing what I've heard several other people say. It's just a little hard for me to get my hands around what this really is. Would it be possible to add selections from the laundry list, either to a whereas clause or even just to the background? Because right now, it's kind of the only example that's given is things that have recently been added, but there aren't any examples given of things still lacking. So just to give people an idea of what it is that RTE faculty are being kept out of or denied right now, I think that makes it more compelling that, oh, this is something that there is actually a need to change.
Oh, go for it, Kim.
Yeah, I was going to say my understanding even, and maybe you can articulate this more clearly. My understanding was we were encouraged not to do that from the feedback that you received.
I do think it's appropriate. I'm liking Hadass's idea that it's appropriate to give a sense of what that would feel like. I don't think that the larger faculty and maybe central administration actually realize simple things that, or should be simple, are not actually happening for RTE faculty. And as simple as being invited to faculty meeting, or even I've heard like they feel small, but in terms of climate and culture, being invited to whatever departmental celebrations, being invited to submit your grades. I mean, we're talking about basic needs of full integration into a unit. And then of course there are larger things as well. But so there is a scale that's being considered. And so it's not outrageous to say, yes, we can codify sort of the successes thus far, but that there's more work to be done. And it's as basic as, you know, but I think these are things that the RTE task force, they will be sent the reporting for those who cannot attend. And then the recordings will go to, as I mentioned before, the deputy provost and provost and academic human resources. Ashley?
Hi, thanks. I was curious when you say like the, you know, Kim saying like the feedback we got not to include it. I'm curious as to, is that feedback because it may not be approved? Like you don't want to potentially include something that would get struck down, or, you know, or is it just because you don't want to limit the possibilities? Because I think that would be two different things. If it's like you're already getting pushback for things I mean, I think, like you said, I can sense that the culture in each college is very different, because at the vet college, I do think RTE faculty are very well integrated. And so I think when this resolution might get read by tenured, you know, faculty here, they might just think the only thing RTE faculty maybe don't get is they don't have tenure. So is that what you're talking about? You know, so I do think those examples would help both RTE and tenured faculty wrap their head around what is changing with this.
So Ashley, you may be in a rarefied space, honestly, when looking university-wide, it is incredible, the slights. As someone just wrote in the chat that happened for RTE faculty in terms of inclusion and climate. And so it's difficult to say. The pushback was, I mean, maybe Kim will have a better answer than me. And I don't know if John's here as the other co-chair, but the pushback was that it was almost like hyper-specific, and then it was almost losing the forest through the trees kind of feeling. But this has been quite the balancing act, and it's hard to say. Kim, maybe you have a better answer.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I maybe would help to speak in specifics, but for example, in the original language, and I don't have it pulled up right now, I will look at that to get that and put it in the chat. It was around the same rights as faculty, except for those rights that is specifically applied to tenure track faculty, such as tenure. We took that out, because we are hopeful that RTE can also have qualified for sabbatical. And so we took the sabbatical leave out. And so it was more of a process of elimination after we received the feedback that we were being very specific. And some of the feedback was the specificity would focus the attention on those specific parts, which means if it wasn't listed, it wasn't an ask.
Yeah.
And so again, the feedback was to go more broadly and basically say, you want to be equitable with tenure track faculty. And the way to say it's everything but was the way that we framed it. It's everything but what is specific to tenured or tenure track faculty, such as, you know, maybe committee searches, things like that. But we did remove sabbatical because that is one of the rights we were hoping to receive. So instead of listing every right, the assumption is that they are all included unless listed otherwise. And that's what we did. We listed otherwise what those rights would not entail, because they really don't come into our orbit as much as they do for tenured and tenure track faculty.
And that reminds me that there was a request for the rights and not the responsibilities that go with those rights. So the language was only rights. And so that was some of the feedback. Well, where are the responsibilities that go with those rights? And then in having that discussion on the task force, there were people on the task force like, I don't want that responsibility or that go with those rights. And there were people on the task force who were like, I don't want tenure. There are people, you know, so there wasn't always an agreement, because we on this committee have representation from all the spaces, the vet school, the law school, the, you know, so it's, they're just different needs. And some people really push back on like, no, I don't want that. I just want to be included. I want equity. So this is why we thought this was a good way to just start. Heidi.
Thank you. I am just mindful that I've seen other resolutions in which there are links with background context. And so I just wonder if it's possible to frame some of these broader issues in a background document, if it hasn't been done, that can somehow be put forth as the faculty are considering this resolution with some more background guidance that just starts articulating some of the things that we would want to have, you know, undertaken in this charge that's being, you know, that's part of the resolution, if that makes sense.
Could you give a sense of what are the things that would be helpful and you think are constructive in the understanding for the context?
I don't, Betsy, can I put you on the spot? Like I asked Betsy like what this conversation might be about. So just to understand how I might be able to contribute to it better. And she made a list of some of the things that have come up that have been issues. And I feel like just even bullet pointing those and like, you know, having people understand like some of those thousands of slights that we get, what they look like and how they could be proactively addressed. I mean, I feel like I start to get emotional even talking about it, but, you know, there have been times in my, during my time at Cornell where I have not wanted to get a raise because of being on soft funding and having no pockets of money myself to back it up. It made it that much more complicated to go after grants to get the funding that I needed. And I was okay doing what I'm doing. And I would ask the question of how many other faculty members at Cornell, if we're given the opportunity to have their SIPs or whatever else, would say, nope, don't give me that. As a, you know, as a non-tenure track faculty, I don't have these opportunities. But I'm just saying, like, there should be something that spells out all of these things that feel awkward. It's different now than it used to be, but in the Department of Global Development years ago, you know, when there was some discussions, we would be asked to leave the room. And please be clear that I get that there is a hierarchy and that folks that are tenure track have maybe an area of expertise in terms of a particular, you know, understanding of what's happening at that level to make a vote. But it to not even be included in the discussion, to be able to share our opinions of what we felt like made sense as contributing members of a department, is just an entirely awkward, odd thing. And at the same time, at this institution, we talk about engagement and appreciating the knowledge base that's out just in a general community, and that we need to do more of that while not respecting people here. And I just think there's some of those kinds of things that, how do we articulate that so people do understand what it feels like on a regular basis. So enough talking. Thank you. I'm sorry I didn't mean to take up so much time.
Elizabeth, this is great. Thank you. This is exactly what the forum is for. I want to share, I think, one of the first things that I experienced as Dean of Faculty when I went to the Board of Trustees meeting, I heard from alumni. And alumni were talking about their favorite experiences at Cornell. And what struck me is many of them they just see faculty. They don't know whether someone's tenured or not. And so I think the more that that's communicated, I think that the more deeply faculty are faculty. And so that's basically this first step. Go ahead, Kim.
Yeah, thank you, Eve. I'm thinking through some of the comments, and I don't know if this is helpful, but getting out of the weeds around the specifics, and as Eve has said, we did have some RTE faculty say, I don't want to go to faculty meetings. I don't go to them now, and that's not something extra that I want to do. I don't see that as part of the climate that I'm describing. But I would say the two issues, if we're staying in the general category of the spirit of this resolution, and these have come up again and again, so maybe it would be helpful to articulate these. But one is academic freedom, and the other is job security. Those are the two that we have heard from a number of our RTE faculty and the task force, and comments from those of you who attended the Faculty Senate meeting when the resolution was presented. Those are two very glaring areas where RTE faculty does not have the same rights as tenure track and tenure faculty.
Thank you, Kim. Elizabeth Higgins.
Hi. One thing, you know, that for me, and I'm different than a lot of the on-campus people because I work sort of off-campus with extension, but increasingly in the roles that we're in, they're hiring people that have staff titles instead of faculty titles. And one of the things that I'd like to see in this resolution is some clarity, I think, about what the difference is between having a faculty appointment and a staff appointment, when at times it really seems like having the staff appointment actually gives you more protection or more clarity about, you know, when you're qualified for a promotion or, you know, or what the pay bands are, whereas the faculty appointments for us sometimes really seem like they come with, you know, apparent prestige, but very little benefit. And so, you know, we're always talking about like us vis-a-vis tenured faculty, but what about us vis-a-vis staff positions also? I think there should be more clarity around that.
Well, the history of RTEs, moving RTEs, the senior titles in the RTE into the Faculty Senate was sort of pushed forward by the fact that RTE faculty who have long-term relationship to Cornell, long-term contributors to Cornell, didn't think that their needs were being represented in the employee assembly. So that really was the impulse for this new grouping of researchers, lecturers, extension scientists, and librarian archivists across the university. It was this impulse to move to an assembly that had, they thought, more meaning to their lives at Cornell. And although the grievance processes are distinct because one is contract-based and one is the tenure track. I just wanted to kind of give that historical context that the RTE faculty were initially considered staff rather than faculty. And so that was kind of the impulses to move to faculty, but I don't know if Elizabeth, if you wanted to add something else in response.
I mean, mostly it's seeming like increasingly, at least, you know, within the division that I work in, you know, and I know it's not the same maybe across campus, is that there's becoming increasingly lack of clarity about, if they're hiring people for functionally the same job and one has a staff title and one has a faculty title, like what's the difference in the job? And that's really, you know, and what's the, you know, and because in some ways it almost seems like the staff titles, you know, it sounds like the faculty title is theoretically more prestigious, but the staff title has more protection. And, that doesn't, you know, it just doesn't feel right. So I guess that's really, I mean, mostly that's what I want to bring up, because a lot of it's sort of, you know, faculty vis-a-vis tenured versus non-tenured, but increasingly, at least for the people who are at the lower level of the faculty appointment food chain, you know, even faculty versus staff is there's a lack of clarity.
And I believe it's Betsy who wrote in the chat that you would class this potentially under title creep. Go ahead, Betsy, go for it.
Sorry, that's how I put it in when I was, because I was getting, after I sent this out, I was getting more things sent to me. So there's been a few. And then I just put it in there as title creep, or the idea of, yes, when the decision is being made to, how do you end up with someone who's an RTE faculty, or in Elizabeth's case, a staff member. And then the other place that sometimes seems to move is from postdocs into RTE faculty. And they seem to be means to ends rather than absolute decisions on actually choosing an RTE faculty position. They sort of end up that way. And the other piece that I was going to put in along with Kim's other two main things is pathways for advancement. And I think that almost ties in a little bit with Elizabeth Higgins' comment as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, because there's a clearer pathway to advancement if you're in the staff title, you know, whereas there's no path. Right. I mean, there's extension associate or senior extension associate in the faculty title, but that's a really, you know, amorphous, you know, you can pack a lot into those different levels in a way that there's a kind of a lack of clarity about like when you've moved over the hump to the next one.
Right.
And is this a distinction for extension faculty? Because I know for example, the research professors and professor of practice, those kinds of titles have very clear processes and requirements for promotion in those ranks? And is it something that's specific to extension where maybe that clarity in terms of duties and promotion need to be clarified?
Don't know the answer to that. I know certainly going from extension associate to senior extension associate, there's a fairly clear description of how that process that goes. But as somebody else, I think, just put in to the chat also, if you come in at senior, there's nowhere to go. And that's true of some other ones. And I think that's probably not exclusive just to extension. And then there's another piece, sorry, because to read all that is very long. The other piece about titles is when you're applying for grants and you're always other, because we don't have titles that match up with other institutions that are applying for the same grant. So there's certainly a whole big conglomeration of things that go along with title. And I think that they are broader than just extension.
Thank you for that clarification. And I should remind everyone that I'm not just sending the recordings, but I'm also sending the chat. So if you want to use the chat for a space to give feedback to the RTE task force and others, then please use that. That's going to also be very helpful. Kim.
Thank you, Eve. So just I have two comments, but to follow up on the discussion, Betsy, I think you're right that once you, I know on the senior extension associate side, if you're promoted from extension associate to senior, there's nowhere else to go, that you've gone as far as you can. And to Heidi's comment, if you are on soft money, what has come up for us a lot is yearly appointments. So many RTE faculty are on a year-to-year appointment. They receive a reappointment letter, depending on the funding cycle, in September, and they are secured their position contingent upon funding for that year until October 1 of the following year. So that can be very tenuous. That can feel very stressful. And if you are on soft money or even partly on soft money, you're right. If there is a SIP increase, then it is up to you to find that increased funding to support your own salary. And it really feels like a hamster wheel sometimes, because it's difficult to do that. And then you find yourself working on more projects, and because you can't split yourself in so many directions, you're hiring more staff. So in my case, I find that I write more grants for more funding to fund more people, and my time on those projects may be 10% or 15%. So I'm writing more to fund other people because I can't possibly work across 10 projects. So those are just two comments to follow up on the conversation. I think, Eve, back to what you were saying, two pieces of information I would offer. One suggestion was for RTE faculty, something that's similar in terms of equity, might be for us to be vested. So after a certain amount of time, as opposed to receiving tenure, we become vested, and that provides job security. What that time frame would look like and what the vested process would look like are up for further conversation. That was one. And another issue that was raised was that, and Eve, correct me if I don't have all the facts here, but there was some, suggestion or movement in the Faculty Senate that tenured faculty, and maybe there was a trustee who pushed back and said RTE representation could not be greater than faculty representation. That could not happen under any circumstances, because it would be perceived as RTE faculty having a benefit over tenure faculty. And the RTE response was, but that's the world we live in, right? We are outnumbered. There's always more tenure faculty representation than there is for us. And so again, that gets at equity, right? We are in an inequitable position if we cannot be at the same level of numbers, or our numbers can't be higher than tenure track faculty, but tenure track faculty numbers can be higher than ours. So those are just some examples that have come up through conversation where it further demonstrates the equity structure that we're advocating for.
My understanding, and Charlie, you can correct me if you'd like, that the conversation about caps was within the Faculty Senate. So I don't think it was from the trustees, as I understand it. So Heidi and Charlie, did you want to speak to that specifically?
No, but I'll go wait my turn and say something else.
Okay, great. So Betsy, then Charlie, then Ashley.
I don't know where Heidi went. She had her hand up before mine.
I just took it down when you said my thank you. All I was going to say with those termination notices, that's also something, even if you go down in funding, you get a termination notice, at least in my experience. So it wasn't that I would be totally without funding, but went down. Like every month, you're notified with an official notice that says you're terminated on this date. I would wager that there's very few of us on this call that would ever not know when their salary is significantly dropping. At least most of us, I suspect, contribute to our families and our income and are very crystal clear when our funding runs out. So to get something like that, send us a note and have us acknowledge it instead of every month saying you're out of here. Thanks for your time. You're out of here.
Thanks, Heidi. Yeah, and that was something that's come up several times.
I was going to say, Heidi, I have heard that across the board. So, yes, thank you for articulating that. Okay, Betsy.
Sorry. Another thing that's come up a couple of times is, and in terms of the advancement, is that sometimes it depends on the supervisor. And so you may be qualified to go to the next level, but there's no one suggesting that you should, or no one telling you how to go about it. And so, you know, that's where some of this, it becomes an issue where, and you know, it's like fine to say, yes, okay, you go to the next level and you go to the next level and you go to the next level. But one of the problems is if the next level is part of the problem.
Thank you, Betsy. And I should say going from associate to full, it's the same thing. So it's not going to be, that's not, unfortunately, not unique to RTE faculty.
No, it's not. And there's a few other things that aren't either, but it's still one of the issues.
Yes, Charlie. And thank you for attending, Charlie.
Oh, thank you. I don't have too much to say about the resolution, except I do sympathize with the interest in having some specific example. But I would also do less is more and not have a gigantic laundry list, but pick, you know, three examples. You know, one might be the dual career issue that Walker mentioned. Another might be, and I spent some time on this just recently, in OFDD, the recommendation is the tenure track faculty hires have a DEI statement. That should be all faculty, not just tenure track. So I would pick a couple of examples like that to support the general principles behind the resolution. But the thing I really want to talk about is I think that the big problem here, one of the problems, has to do with the lecture track, the extension track, and the research associate track. They were formed, I know I paid attention to the lecture track. The lecture track was established in the 70s. And it's a two-tier track, and two-tier tracks just don't work. You want to have advancement. You'd have more happy campers if these tracks had three levels. And I really think that is something that I would focus on. My question for Kim, has the committee considered doing something about getting, let me just pick on the lecture track because I'm more familiar with it, doing something to get a third rank in that track, and perhaps having teaching professor titles, because I think those we're losing people because of that. Mm-hmm. We can't attract the best people. We demoralize people who get stuck, feel that they're stuck. I think there'd be more happy campers again if we solve some of these structural problems. And when you think of the professorial tracks that were formed in the 2000s, all the attention paid to those. And I think it just seemed that we've neglected some of the more fundamental RTE faculty. And I really would like to see a statistic, namely what fraction of all credit hours are taught by lecturers. I think that should be publicized front and center. Yeah, I remember when we did the RT thing 3 or 4 years ago, I think I looked at the 20 biggest courses, and you know, a huge fraction of them were taught by lecturers. I think if we really publicize that, and the thing I would most like to see would be, again, improving these existing tracks to have a third rank.
So to answer your question, Charlie, we have not explored that. I would just say that we focused on the current titles and sort of the stuckness, you know, how we can get stuck in those titles. And of course, from our work, the rights that have been extended to RTE faculty are at the senior level. So we have many RTE faculty who are extension associates, research associates, lecturers, et cetera, who have not attained senior status. So it's always important to remember that there are those of us who still are RTE faculty and don't have RTE faculty rights, the few that we've been able to advocate for. We did have a conversation that is similar to your comment, and that is around professorial titles around teaching specifically. So we're aligned there. But if I recall, and Eve and John, my co-chair has joined. John, welcome your comments as well. And Ashley, I don't mean to jump ahead in the queue. I'm just answering Charlie's question. We didn't think that pursuing additional titles at this point, like a professor of teaching, for example, would be beneficial. It would just add more of the same to the conversation. We do have professor of practice now, but professor of practice are RTE faculty. They experience the same issues that the rest of us do. And so I don't know if adding another title would necessarily be helpful, but adding another tier might be, for the reason that you articulate. And I'm assuming that would be one tier higher, or would that be in the middle of, say, for example, extension associate and then senior extension associate?
Yeah, I would say at the top. I mean, the tenure track has three tiers, the professorial tracks have three tiers, and we need a third tier in the lecture track. I haven't studied the extension track enough. You know more about that than I do. But I think that will create fundamental change and a lot of positive side effects if that is done. And I think there'd be widespread support for doing that too.
I would just jump in, Charlie, that the issue that I brought up for engineering is that professor practice did become a promotion track in engineering, and a lot of the senior lecturers were bumped up to professor of practice, which kind of took the oxygen out of the room for considering a third tier. I agree with you that the original intent was that professor of practice would not be a promotion track. So I think we need some clarity on that. And, you know, it's difficult to put that genie back in the bottle now that it's out. So it just seems like a difficult task to get that third tier. But I agree 100% that it makes a lot of sense, because, I mean, seriously, we also do have in engineering people that are appointed directly to senior lecturer. And that I've heard from some of my RTE colleagues doesn't necessarily go over well, as there's supposed to be, you know, a period of evaluation before you're promoted. But I think it's a very good issue, and I certainly agree that it should be the task force's one of their key focuses going forward.
And it looks like, I was going to say, it looks like there's support in the chat for those ideas as well. And all of this will go back to the task force. And welcome, John. John is the other co-chair for the RTE task force. Ashley.
Thanks. I just wanted to first, I forgot to say it last time, but I just wanted to say a very sincere thank you for all the work that's been done to this point for RTE faculty advocation, like so sincerely appreciated. So thank you to everyone that's been a part of it. And I definitely, you know, even in our college, I've definitely heard the language of don't worry, the number of tenure track faculty will stay above the RTE faculty. Like that language has definitely come across and you're in the audience like, but why? Like, why does that have, you know, almost feels like gerrymandering just to make sure the numbers stay the way they need to be to keep people happy. So I've definitely heard that. And I just wanted to echo support for the idea of the vested. I think that, you know, being in a position for a certain period of time, like I think the job security is a big thing, even more so than the academic freedom. I don't know, maybe, you know, I don't think necessarily a lot of publications are going to be so controversial that that's maybe the issue. But I think a lot of times there's the feeling that the tenure track faculty in the room have the ability to speak freely because they know they have this job security. And then even if you've been a clinical track faculty for, you know, umpteen million years, you kind of always have to like mind your P's and Q's in a different kind of way. Even though you have been here and contributed for a very long time, there's just that unspoken underpinning of a conversation. Like I can't always, I mean, not to say it's a good thing always that I think tenure track faculty can speak as freely as they want, but that just exists as a culture. So I think making that go away would be nice.
So we're running up on our time. So what I'll do is I'll have Bob go next. And then Kim, you could take it home. How's that? Okay, Bob.
Yeah, thank you, Eve. The only comment I was going to make is all of the issues that were discussed during this session is a perfect example why we didn't get into issues for the resolution. Because there are so many, they're so different, they involve different colleges, they involve different disciplines. So if we try to include even a couple of those, there will always be someone who says, well, that's the only thing they're interested in. So I'm just sort of reflecting what I've heard during this whole forum about issues. We agree there are all of these issues, but the point was in terms of getting this passed by the Senate was the fact that if we got too much into the weeds, it just wouldn't get passed because everybody would be concentrating on that rather than just understanding the need for RTE faculty to have some kind of equality. So I just wanted to reflect that in our discussion today. Thanks.
Thank you, Bob. And Kim, you can close out our session.
Oh gosh, I don't know about that. I'll toss it back to you, Eve. But Bob, thank you. That was perfect. It was just perfectly articulated. And you're right. It. I hope that maybe this demonstrates some of the issues we've been struggling with and tried to articulate and pulled them back. And so decided to go the more general course. I just had a quick follow-up comment to Charlie's three-tier system. And it sounds like, Charlie, the level you're advocating for would be above the senior level. I think the naming of that would, of course, be critically important, but I would hope that it would open some doors for those of us. For example, in my position, I have an extension and a research position. So I am required to bring in research funding. But when you submit to the large funding agencies like NIH and NSF, and you say you're a senior extension associate, you don't even, you're even less competitive than the whole competitive process. So there are other ways where I think the titles do not work to our benefit. We also learned that titles are important and they matter. But it just, I think to Heidi's comment and Betsy's comments previously, they can also be detrimental because people don't know what we are, what that actually reflects. And so I think we can be at a disadvantage sometimes with those titles. So just one more plug for Charlie's suggestion of a third tier and then what that title would be. So, and Eve, I'll toss it back to you. Thank you.
So everybody who wants to give feedback to all the different constituents that I suggested, throw things in the chat. I think that would be helpful. Hadass, who's a senator in the College of Engineering. Hadass, yes, this is open to being revised. That's the whole idea, was that this was to provide feedback. And so if there are specific things that you want, please feel free to either send it to the Dean of Faculty email or to the two co-chairs or all of us. That will work. And so, and you can be as involved as you want to be. And that goes for everyone else as well. But this is an opportunity for feedback so that things can be potentially revised before it goes to the Senate. The hope is that this is something that would be voted on in May, and that this could be legislated, hopefully if it passes, before the end of this academic year. That's the goal. And so we'll keep working towards that. Really appreciate, I love seeing the investment that all of you are making and coming to this space to share your thoughts and ideas. We really, really appreciate it. And with that, thank you.